Yeah. Got your nose.
So it's going to be okay. A 30-second podcast.
Well, I could only dream of that sort of gig.
And there's no hot girls. It's all good.
One of my friends killed somebody on the plane like that.
Get it in there.
Here's the same joke in slow motion.
Wow, he really is a germaphobe.
They'll be all right.
What happened in Vegas with Piff and Paul?
This is my new face.
I think that's how you should open.
Welcome to What Happened in Vegas with me, Piff the Mad Dragon, Paul DeBeck, and today's guest, Carrot Top. What?
I know. We're just like straight out the gate.
Oh my God. Carrot Top.
Straight out the gate. Vegas royalty.
Coming up, Donny Osmond.
It's pretty impressive.
It's amazing.
When I first walked into this banana colored room, I did not think that we would be. You know, I had faith in you, but you got some friends in this town.
Well, Carrot Top's been amazing to me. And he's one of those rare people who I'm not sure what to call him.
Yes, yeah.
A lot of people just call me Piff.
Yeah.
And I don't really care.
Yeah.
But Carrot Top's like two words.
Yeah.
It's like a little more effort.
Yeah, and then there's that thing of like you want it. Because I call you by your name, your Christian name, your first name all the time. And often slip up by saying that, you know, but you don't mind, but it's just that's how I know you. Carrot Top.
It's tough.
But then you want a bond, don't you? You're like, well, I know, for you at least. Yeah, you've got a little.
You can't shorten it to Carrot. Hey, Carrot.
No.
There was this guy who came to the show the other day. I don't even remember what his real name was, but he decided that he wanted to be called Kiki.
Kiki.
And I was like, I don't want to call you Kiki for the whole
show.
Are
you sure his name wasn't Kiki?
No, it was. Do you remember his name?
No.
Keith.
I know what you're talking about, though. Kiki is
Enrique.
A name.
His name was Enrique.
People call him Kiki.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't know you that well. I don't want to call you Kiki. Carrot Top. So anyway, Carrot Top's real name is Scott. So I think we called him Scott in this episode.
I think he kind of lets you do whatever you want, basically.
Yeah, whatever you want.
He's one of those people that has had so much success.
Yeah.
And it's... He kind of brushes on it a little bit because obviously, you know, sometimes you're not a victim of your own success, but like if you're successful, people are going, if you have a great brand, you know, Copperfield's been around for years, people parody, you become the butt of a joke or something, but it's like you're the butt of the joke on the Tonight Show or you're the butt of the joke on, it's like, it's a weird poison
successful
chalice. Yeah.
That,
he's part of modern
culture.
But I do think that's being,
what do you call it? Reevaluated now.
Oh, he's.
I think a lot of people.
He's got like a second.
Yeah.
Second coming almost, but he never went away.
He never went away, but in the last few months, he's done a lot of great podcasts, done some great spots on Joe Rogan, Kill Tony, and people. You know, people have.
Kill Tony's great because I think that's why I brought it up because he was talking about the first time he went on and he was like, you know, the other judge is going to the other panel going to like send me up or whatever. And you watch them and they're like, he's just sort of quietly away. And then they'll, you know, roast someone. And then he'll go, wait, I have a prop for this.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, yeah. And they're because
he's just so good.
It's great.
He's just so good. And his show is so good. That's the other thing. These people who have these shows for like 20 years, there's a reason they have them.
Right.
You know?
And also, what I remember now, part of that chat that was really interesting was even I think I catch myself doing it. You sort of, we're talking about like, you know, straight stand-up or like classic stand-up comedy and like the layers in like writing it or whatever else. And we're almost talking as if prop stuff is slightly different or whatever. And then suddenly you realize all that same structure and everything is absolutely there. And then there's this whole other process of like refinement and toppers and the creative process in like taking, it's not just like, oh, this is so-and-so's golf club. You know, it's like, there's all these other layers and gags around the same prop. It's really impressive.
There's a lot of work behind what he's doing.
It was like, I felt like he was like, and then you really like not just saw the usual craziness of what's in his mind. It actually gave you a little glimpse behind the process. And
he's very kind as well. When I first moved to Vegas, I literally went to see a show 10 times and he never, like, I never bought a ticket. He always like would take care of me. And
he's a big, you can tell he's like part of keeping there a community around artists here in town and performers. And his Instagram's mad. I love following it. It's just that I'm like, oh, Carrot Top's back in Florida. And then he's like in some bar lip syncing to some song, having a shot of something. And then he's like, all of a sudden he's back in Vegas. He's back into the Florida.
I think he does something like 4 weeks here and 1 week there.
Right.
Or something like that.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
He goes back a lot. But just him and his team is great. Jeff is manager.
Lovely people.
Really good guy. And so it was very nice that they came and did this podcast. Yeah. And I think that, he really was generous as well. Yeah. He opened up and shared a lot of stuff.
It's interesting because this has happened quite a bit in here. You don't expect people to come into this room.
Yeah, and this shrine to Piff.
Right. And so, and me.
And you're right, the shelf to you.
Awful, not even you didn't even give me my own shelf. We won't cut to it because you also put the world's worst photo of me ever on there. But anyway, doesn't feel like the sort of place you come in to, open up about, but everyone's been really open and not vulnerable, but just really honest about.
Honest, yeah.
Yeah, which has been really cool. It wasn't kind of what we anticipated originally, but it's been really something about this room. Or is it maybe just you've taken your hood off? Maybe that's it.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Maybe it's like they walk in and they go, they've got bad hair. It's a place to be vulnerable. It's a safe space.
He's finally taking his hood down. I can too.
Yeah. That's
what about that?
That's what it is. It's a safe space.
What about that?
Nothing about this room says safe space, but I think it is.
It is. It is a safe space. Here is Carrot Top in his safe space. Our guest today is a comedy icon and a hero of mine. It's Carrot Top.
Hi, everybody. Hi.
Hi.
How are you guys? How do you want to call you, Scott or Carrot? Neither one. Which one would you like? Piff 2.
Yes. Piff 2.
All right.
No, Carrot Top.
Fuck, so do I become Piff 3?
Carrot Top's fine. Yeah, we like Carrot Top. I mean, yeah. But if I'm your dear friend, you'd call me Scott, right? Oh, are we already going?
I think we should use absolutely.
No, I like this.
This is just told everyone everything.
Yeah, yeah. You don't need. It's over now. We don't have to do anything.
Can I count you in my dear friends?
You can.
Then I'll call you Scott.
Do you hear that? You can.
See, I think
as if to say I'm.
Yeah, I'm not going to put you in mine, but yes, I like that already because my grandma would call me Carrot Top. And I thought that was just the creepiest thing.
Oh, yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I love that.
Now she'd say, this is my grandson, Carrot Top. And I'm like, it's Scott, Grandma. And she'd already, I'm just Carrot Top. I wasn't Scott anymore.
Yeah. Everyone calls me Piff in real life. Because
Scott doesn't get her, closer to the table she wants.
No, exactly. 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 Yeah. It was always weird. Like, it's like, Grandma, I didn't correct her. So if I called her Gladys, I mean, it'd be creepy, right? So.
Oh,
so Carrot Top it is.
Good name, right? Gladys.
Gladys
there's no more Gladys's around.
Name.
Yeah, Gladys.
No, Gladys is one of those names.
Carl and Gladys.
You don't see a baby.
We have a Carl in our show.
You don't see a baby Gladys.
We have a camel called Carl in our show.
I just looked at something today, cute girl names for 2025.
Yeah.
You have to look it up.
This is what you're Googling?
Yeah. I have a joke in the show. I was trying to find a cute girl name because I had to yell out, where? And I looked it up just to see Kai and these new names. Eleanor, and I'm like, what the
Eleanor?
Fuck,
Eleanor?
Like,
name.
They that's
no, these are like these are new names for hip names for girls
they
in 2025.
They do rhymes. It's like my niece is called Elsie. That is an old lady.
Yeah, Elsie's well, not old lady name, but it's an older name. Yeah, Elsie. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Brett just named his baby Archer or something like that.
Yeah.
Baby Gary.
Archer.
I was still like, Gary's a weird name to name a baby.
Gary is
there's
weird.
So Gary's many Gary's around.
No, there's no Gary's
I feel like we're heading to
I really didn't like Scott. I mean, it's like, oh man, but it is.
Well, my name's John, and I don't.
Yeah,
I
mean,
everyone, you are like the anti Scott and the anti John.
But there's not
like
a lot
that.
Of Johns, right? It's not a very common name. So that's good.
I embrace the Piff when people call me
Yeah,
Piff.
My brother, that's not, this is a, I don't tell the whole story, but my brother was named Garrett, okay? No. My brother, my dad worked at NASA, and he was an engineer. So when he landed in L.A. at LAX, it's still there. There's a building that says Garrett Aviation. And my brother ended up being a pilot in the Air Force. How straight that he named after an aviation, but not knowing he was going to go into being a pilot.
Oh,
and I was named, and I was named after Scott right after my dad took a shit. He's like, Scott Tissues. That's perfect. That's exactly what happened.
So I've known you. You're like one of the people I've known the longest in Vegas.
Yeah.
Long, long time.
Am I the only guest that's ever chewed gum during your... I just realized I had gum.
Yes. Unbelievable.
That's, like, how untacky. I have a redneck of mine. You bring gum
very
to
rock
it.
And roll.
It is. It is. It's kind of... It was kind of tacky. And then I figured... I started, so I figured I was...
What kind of gum do you choose?
It's some really spearminty stuff.
Spearmint thing?
Yeah. It's like
the microphone.
It's like a blast, something blast, you know.
I just can't deal with gum. It like runs out of
fire. No, I don't
know. So
like this one's good.
Really?
Icebreakers or
it's
something.
It's a long lasting gum.
Yeah, it's not bad. Not like Juicy Fruit where like 2 seconds
right,
after
two
it's
seconds
gone.
It's gone. Then you just like.
Before you even unwrap it, it's not flavorful.
Right.
You know?
And it's squeaking.
Yeah.
It squeaks.
Yeah,
I think,
squeaky?
Well, you know, if you chew gum for too long, it starts to get kind of squeaky.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
There's that thing like if you chew like xylitol gum, all your teeth cavities fill in.
I should just get rid of it.
Just perfect. Thanks.
I love it.
When I came to Vegas,
I didn't do it. I still have it.
Oh, I thought you were going to stick it next to the piece.
I was
going to
put it under your desk,
under
but I
put it under my desk.
Desk? Why not?
Yeah, we should get everybody to do that.
Yeah, everybody just
please put it there. We want to have a piece, and you can sign it on the way out.
Yeah.
Well, nice. That we'll take a DNA sample.
He's like, you know,
we could clone a carrot.
Gum on
yeah, you know, we cloned. You know, we cloned Mr. Piffles.
Yes.
So we could clone you.
That would be really creepy, wouldn't it?
It would be a lot weird.
Maybe two you already have been, because what I was talking to Piff about before you arrived was everybody I know when I'm chatting that has any connection to Florida, they're like, oh, he lives in Florida. And I'm like, no, he's in Vegas. And I know you're always back and forth between two places.
What's your schedule?
My dear friend this morning was like, oh, he lives in Winter Park. Or is Winter Park?
Winter Park, yeah.
I was like, how people know? Florida love you too.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a long flight. So
it
how
is
do you
the only
that
thing
schedule?
That's the only thing. It's the only thing that's kind of it's a long flight. But
and the time
you
difference.
Get there, it's great. But it is a long.
Who do you fly with?
People that.
Like, Southwest?
No, my brother flies for Southwest. That's one reason I don't fly with Southwest. Because I don't want my brother flying me.
No.
It's creepy, right?
Good luck, everyone else.
No, seriously. My brother's up there flying the plane. Like, God, what are we, you know. He's a great pilot, but still, I don't want my brother flying me. So
no,
I fly whatever airlines can get me, you know, get me there.
You don't care. Just whatever.
I mean, Delta, United, American, one of those big three get there.
So you do every fifth week in Florida or something?
About 3 or 4.
3 or 4 weeks?
Yeah.
You go to Florida for like a week?
A week.
And
you're tracking me.
Yeah, I am.
Okay, so you're not going sort of on your... I thought you were dashing there on your dark days kind of thing. And I was like,
No. Just on the weeks off.
Nice.
it'd be incredible to go back every Sunday. But
do you think that's what has helped you stay, you know, because Vegas is awesome and I love it, but I love the fact that I'm not here all the time. So I enjoy coming back. Like, do you think, like, you've been here so long, you've been like in, have you been at that theater nearly most of your residency?
Well, we've been there, this will be 20 years.
Wow.
That's
20
it's
years.
It's a great room for comedy.
It is a great room. Yeah, when I first got in there, I didn't know about, I mean, we were at the MGM prior to that, we're the Celebrity Theater, and it was booths and whatnot. And then in the back there was it was a weird theater, but
it's Copfield.
That's why I'm at the Luxor because Copfield wanted that room.
Oh really?
Oh yeah. So it was funny when they came to me and said, "Listen, David Copfield wants the room." So it's Copfield Carrot Top. So I said, "I guess he's getting the room." And then they said, "Well, there's a room at the Luxor." And we went over and looked at it. And at first I was like, "Wow, this is it's stadium seating. It's It's really cool. It's
well,
great
and
for,
they're it's kind of quite raked, so they're
right
there.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And so I always think
each seat really is not
for
bad
magic because I'm sure from magic. I'm like, this would be such a great theater for magic. And of course, what you do is like similar in a way.
It's
that
so
you
great.
Want to
it'd be a great room for
and,
comedy if there was a comedy great show in there too.
No,
but it turned out it's a great room. And yeah, we got 20 years there, and then at the MGM 10.
Wow.
So it's going.
And were you full time at MGM?
No, the MGM was like kind of an, as I make fun of the residencies they call here, like you and I are actual residency.
Right.
You know, I do a thing in the show where, you know, Adele has a residency. How many shows did Adele do? Like 6. It's not even a week. Okay. It's not a residency. So
they just presented Jerry Seinfeld with like, he's done 100 shows.
Yeah. Yeah.
After all these years.
Yeah.
And they gave him like a thing and made it a big deal. I mean, 100 shows. That's like
100
3
shows.
Months.
Jesus. Yeah. It's like,
God.
It's a month.
Yeah.
It's 2 months for us.
Exactly.
Yeah. Why are they getting me a clock?
Well,
I don't understand. I did
Well, Jerry was going to be on next week. So
yeah, so
not anymore.
It's
over.
Yeah, it's been a nice run. Yeah, we've been 20 years there at the Luxor, and it's an incredible
But also, you don't stop because it's like, but to answer whatever's your question, topical, you've got something.
Oh, absolutely.
New.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
That, and I think you're the only one who does that, right? I can't think of another show who is that current.
That cycles that much.
Well,
stuff
I don't know because a lot of shows, especially out in Vegas, that they don't have the opportunity because they say a Cirque show or something, the dance show, where they don't have the luxury of changing each day.
But I
so I can put in something brand new every
night. I don't
even
see stand-ups work material in as quickly as you.
No.
No,
I think there's something because of the visual where you can...
I've seen stand-ups. I mean, I do a lot of stand-up stories. We were just talking about it last night. We were talking about the fact that Vegas and we were saying, you know, a lot of comics can come through and do, or bands can come and do the same routine or whatever for, because Vegas audiences... You know, there's new crowds every night.
Yeah.
And they would say that on cruise ships. I'm like, okay, it's kind of different on a cruise ship. It's true. You get new, and then you go off in a new crew. But Vegas, you get a lot of return.
Yeah.
A lot of return. I mean, every night of my meet and greet, they're like, this is my ninth time kind of thing. So not only prior to knowing that knowledge about that, I always wanted to keep the show fresh, not only for me and my crew, but even the audience, when the audience would be, they're savvy to it. You know, they're like, he's doing a tariff joke, and it just happened in the news kind of thing. So I've always found it to
be important.
I
think that's so cool, though, because, you know, obviously you're writing the comedy around it. Then often if it's something with a prop, you've got to go, you're adding that as well. Sure. So actually there's a lot of work in that. But for some reason, do you think it's the – because I work with props, Piff works with props. There's an excitement about going away and trying and building something. But in, like, magic, you've kind of got to – hide all the other stuff.
You've got to do a trick and you've got to do all this
and you're like, you get to get in that initial excitement of like, oh, this thing works or whatever, and then get it in there.
Yeah, it's exciting. That is fun. That's like the best part about it.
I watch you on your Instagram, you know, working on stuff, and I'm like, I get that feeling.
It's always fun to any one of us have, you know, it's a new thing and it works. You know, it's such a great, even if it was a prop or a joke. It's just so fun to come back and say, hey, you know, that new one worked. I would think about Dolly Parton playing Caesars. And you can tell it's new because she just signed on.
Yeah.
And behind me, we're lucky we have that big screen. So this is a new one in a sense. And it's a great visual. So you say Dolly Parton's playing Caesars. And everybody was saying, how come she's not playing the sphere? And they show the sphere. And then I say, she couldn't play the sphere. They'd have to have two. And they have two spheres. So it's you know, it's a great stand-up joke. Even if you just said it, you don't have to visually see it. But then you get the two spheres and then the, you know, double vision song comes on. It's a whole, you know, it's a layer. So last night we were like, hey, the new Dolly one worked. It's good.
Right.
I knew it would work. I knew it would work.
And then you find like a, because you've got those other elements, you've got like, you can do verbal topper, visual topper.
Yeah. I love love that. Cause that's, I've always liked, even with, like, using the props and whatnot that I've done from day one, not day one, but early.
Yeah, sure.
You can use that now with the video wall almost.
Right.
In an artsy way without having to build a prop like, you know, that one, in a sense, you know, they can see it. There's two spheres.
Right. In the old days, you might have like had to be blown up a ball and say,
no, they'd have to, exactly.
Made it in miniature.
Right. So you can boom, and you can use that as a big punchline. You know, we just did a brand new joke. And I mean, I'm talking brand new, 2 days old. We were driving home back from work and there's a big billboard. And, you know, I'm not picking on the hotel. It's just a joke, but it's a Sahara pool. Right. It's a big billboard, and it's this really hot chick on the billboard, and it says, meet me at the pool. And I show it. I said, have you seen this one? Like, meet me at the pool. Wow, look at that hot. And then you get there, and it's a picture of, you know, 95 gay guys, you know, in a pool. It's just, and it's instantly funny because everyone sees the, meet me at the pool. And then you get there, and you're like, oh, has anyone seen? That's where I was looking for the girl. Has anyone seen Kaya? Where's Kaya?
That's great.
Yeah, but it's an instant joke because they see, you know, and they all have witnessed it. They've all gone to the pool, and there's no hot girls. It's all dudes.
And like you say, it's this shorthand to getting to the punchline. And maybe that's when you're doing just like straight stand-up, maybe that's, you've got to go out and work that nuance how do we get from A to B, but when you're using that visual. I mean, it's interesting because magic, obviously there's been this big trend in like suddenly doing stuff on TV screens and big screens, whatever.
Yeah.
But often that's the worst way to do it. It's just being performed for the screen. But when you lean into it and start using it in interesting ways, you use the video lots in the show now.
Yeah.
It's like a whole other cool
It's a whole
element.
Other element. Yeah, exactly.
And there's nothing worse than just watching it and feeling like it's a TV show.
Yeah, we use QLab. You guys use QLab? PowerPoint. Yeah, exactly. But QLab is basically like a PowerPoint, and it becomes like another way to tell jokes.
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable. Yeah. The whole show is layered, and there's so much stuff that's just that has that video wall behind you. Right. It's a great punchline.
And whoever's working it almost is like your drummer, right?
They, oh, yeah.
You've got to be it's there like on the timing.
Can I, you know, I'm not going to say I'm the first guy to do it in comedy because this is, God almighty, it had to have been MGM days. So 20 years ago, at least 25 years ago, maybe, God, even longer than that. We were doing, I had my big screen up.
Yeah.
And it just had my logo on it for years. It just said, you know, Carrot Top. And so, I did that all the way back when, you know, I had my little trunks on the Tonight Show or whatever. I'd put Carrot Top just because, you know, marketing.
Right.
And one night my lighting guy just comes up after the show. He's like, you should use that video, like that wall for something. And I said, what I have? Carrot Top on it. He goes, no, like put, like do a joke on it.
Yeah.
So the first one I did was Michael Jackson, whatever. He was, of course, alive then and very popular. And so I put his face up and then I went, yeah, got your nose and, you know, do like this. And it would, his nose would go away and it killed. I mean, it was the first. And I remember my Jimmy guy's like, see, you can use that wall. And I said, got your nose. And it would just, his nose would go away. See, cause he, you know, he had no nose, but, it was great. And then from then on, it was like,
isn't that wild to think of a time where like, that technology was, yeah, on stage, but people weren't using it for anything. Yeah, other
didn't
than,
even think
like
to
you
use
say,
it. I give my credit to my sound guy Jimmy. He was, yeah, he was right on it. He was sat there all night watching the show. Like they should do something with that. And it's true. Now it's addictive. Now that's the problem.
Addictive.
Now it's every other second. There's a joke, yeah, on it.
Yeah, it's addictive, and it's like you get into that, basically presenting a slideshow.
Like, yeah, that. Somewhat. If you overdo it, that's why try not to overdo it. I try to tell some stories too, but it's a nice layer.
Yeah.
You've got, your show is interesting because you have two different gears in your show. You have the one where you're just punching people with props and it's, you can't breathe. It's so funny. And then you sort of give the audience a little break and you tell a story.
Then I start doing your material. I'll give them a little break.
Exactly. Then you get the dog out, do my material. But when you're crushing like that and making them laugh that hard, are you intentionally going, oh, I need to give them a break?
Oh, absolutely. Break. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty, I mean, I don't look like I think things out, but I do. So yeah, it's definitely, as all of us know, it's an organized mess. I mean, there's a structured outline, yeah, to the show. The beginning is rapid, kind of what people think would they would get Carrot Top. And then you kind of slowly start doing stuff.
So what the hell?
I wanted something at Starbucks. Sorry.
Okay.
The fans have heard.
I think the robot's
Scott,
taking over.
Gladys's, yeah, grandson is, yeah, here. And
yes,
they are,
you have. I mean, I thought we had rats at the Luxor. You guys got some serious problems in there. But yeah, so it's thought out. We do the thing, and then I get to go into a little, and then I go even. Then I go fast again, and then at the end, I really have slowed it down. I tell a whole story about Gallagher, it's a great story. And people, I mean, it's so quiet, and they're listening to and then it ends. It's an ending, is more upbeat. But it's just that one moment where, I mean, it's like they're listening to every second of the story.
Yeah,
and that's when you start thinking, well, this thing better have a good end to it, right? Because I never used to do that. I was always afraid to tell a story, and like now you get. I mean, it's like 10 minutes of them just listening, nothing, and then you get the punch, and it's there, and you're like, thank God.
But that's the art form. Like, I mean, I haven't been in Vegas that long, but I've been coming here for a long time, and the thing that I love looking back at the old school Vegas headliners, and that's the mastery of that kind of the Vegas, yeah, show. People think, oh, it's just a Vegas show, but it's like, it's, you know, you look at those Sammy Davis Jr. or, you know, some of those impression shows, you know, it's got to have all that nuance in there. Otherwise,
it's not a show.
It's,
yeah,
just da,
right.
Da.
Yeah. I mean, I've always,
I love
from,
that.
Yeah, from day one as well, I've always did that. I mean, I know I had to have been the first one. Comedy clubs, even TV shows, I brought like my strobe light and my fog machine.
Right.
And people are like, what the? And I'm like, you know, I had a bit about smoking, so I'd have a smoke machine, and I'd have the wind for a hurricane joke because I was playing in Florida, and strobe lights for, I don't even remember the joke, it was something in slow motion. Here's the same joke in slow motion,
yeah,
and it didn't make any sense, but it looked cool, and it was just production. And comedy clubs were like, what the hell is this?
Right?
And what is this? Because they'd have, you know, Seinfeld or Foxworthy, you know, just stand there on a stool,
yeah,
And I come in, I've got leaf blowers and strobe lights and fog machines, but they loved it. The crowd loved it. You know, but even the staff's like, this is so awesome. Yeah, we never had this before at the Comedy Zone or wherever it was we played. So it was, but it always from day one wanted to be a show. I didn't want it to just be
a spot.
Yeah, I wanted people to leave. Like when you leave a rock show, there's like confetti coming down and people, there's music playing and there's just an energy like we just went to a concert.
Well, the last time I saw you, the end of your show, it's like a pastiche to that, right?
Yeah, that's exactly why. So it ended kind of on a rock and roll kind of, it's called the rock and roll trunk. Yeah, it's a whole bang, bang, bang of rock and roll. Yeah, it's fun. I like it. It's fun to dance around like an idiot.
Yeah. So.
And which is funny, you just said into the old school, maybe the old school headliners and new. Now we're going to be that. Oh. Now we're going to be right. So they can say, you know, the old school guy, you know, remember the old like Carrot and Biff, and they're like, oh man, because you know, hey, now we're the old school guys.
We've had the show here for 10 years now.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's crazy.
It's crazy, crazy.
That is really crazy.
Well, congrats on that too. It's amazing.
Well, it's not quite 20.
Well,
20 and then plus another 10.
When you were
at
MGM, were you touring as well?
Yes.
Oh, yes. You do like a few weeks in MGM and then tour.
Yeah. So MGM, right, exactly. Two weeks with MGM, and then we go on the road, come back, do another couple. So it was like 8 weeks or something back in the MGM days. But we were just road shows.
Yeah.
When did you start? Do you still do any?
We do some.
You have a
we
lot
do
of
some.
Time for many, but because we do a lot some. Of
yeah,
shows here,
we
but.
Do some. We go out once in a while.
Do you like fun. Going back and doing?
Yeah, that? It's fun. I mean, it's. It's old school, like you said. You know, you have the tour bus, and you're kind of working a little bit harder because you have to do a different show. You can't do the Vegas show, which, you know what I mean. So you're in Chicago, rhythm, you got to do, you know,
right, of course.
So you can't just say, hey, you know, Vegas, you know, what? So it requires you to work a little bit harder and have a different outline. It's a road show as opposed to a Vegas show. You kind of, I mean, you got it down. I find
they're more responsive on tour. People are like, it's like, you know, one of 12 things they're doing. Whereas on tour, it's like, this is the big thing.
Oh, sure. They've waited, gotten babysitters and waited months to see you. Right. Absolutely.
And they come up.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's one thing when we very beginning of doing Vegas, I couldn't figure out Vegas. I just couldn't. And I wouldn't say I was a pro, but I've been doing it a long time.
Yeah.
And for some reason, Vegas would just. It was like a hiccup. We would say, oh, Vegas, we got to do Vegas today. And then we leave Vegas, and we're back on the road, and people are wearing Carrot Top shirts, and you're a star, and people are waiting by the bus to say hi and take pictures. And then Vegas are like, you know, what time is O start? You know,
they, exactly.
So it was humbling, I guess, also.
So wild to doing hear it so that long, you when kind you've of been learn here it. So long and that that would be something
it
you'd
took
feel,
me,
right?
I seriously, I just kind of learned it not even in the last...
couple
run
of
here yeah in the last couple of weeks I've
found clicked.
I'm not curious. I mean, I'm serious. The first part of my especially the MGM days, no clue. And the first part of the Luxor, I really didn't. I just one day I was just like, I think I figured out how to get to do a Vegas crowd and give them what they want. And,
you have
and the
great
speed
thing.
Of what they want, you know.
Yeah. When you come out, it's unbelievable. And also you're just like complimenting the crowd as soon as you're out there. You're getting them going.
Yeah, well, you got to tell the crowd they're great, even if they suck, right? You
know, right.
You guys are great. You know? I was watching a show last night, and it was a monologue, and it literally stopped right in the middle of it. And he goes, "Man, you guys are tough tonight." And I just thought, you know, we all do that, but I was an audience just sitting home watching it on TV. I could tell that the audience was bad,
right? Mm.
But for him just to stop and go, "Man, you guys are tough tonight." And they still didn't laugh. And then he did the next four or five jokes. I was like, wow, that's just like, you know, show business.
Even that's a whole other level of...
Because usually TV shows are so amped.
Right.
You've been to a taping where they're just so amped. I mean, you can't...
It's not real
They're
world.
So excited, you know. They get them up and...
They're out of the chairs as soon as you walk on.
Right.
And they're so ready because the warm-up, if they're a good warm-up, they've been out and entertained, but really they're not doing material. They're out there getting them ready... So they're so desperate for whatever's about
and it's,
to come.
But it's
right?
also interesting because who you would sometimes would, what a guest you'd follow. Like, so let's say the Tonight Show, you go on there and the crowd's amped, ready. Jay does his thing. The crowd's great. Then they have on a guest and it's like,
right.
I mean, you wouldn't say the name of the guest naturally, right? But it was, I've been on the show many times and there was a few that would set you up really good because they were energy and funny. And there'd be one that were talking, you know, like, I don't know, just, and, by the time you get up, the crowd's dead again. But then it would be at your advantage because they want to laugh again. Yeah. So
right.
You could, it would, sometimes it would work in your advantage. Sometimes it would be tough. But the, do you ever do the telethon?
No.
All right, that was the hardest in my life. So I had done it many, many, many times. And Jerry Lewis and I actually were pretty good friends. And it was when Ed McMahon and was doing the co-hosting with him, and he came back and he went out. Jerry went out and he said, you know, hey, our numbers, let's go through the numbers, and we're close. And he looks over like he's gonna bring me up. He says, we got the next one, boy. You talk about numbers going, and all of a sudden, this girl comes out with a note, gives it to him. And Jerry reads it, and apparently one of their you know, kids that they really good kids had just passed away. And I'm sitting there with Ed McMahon, and he says, oh my God. And they already had the picture of the kid. They put the kid up on the big jumbo thing. And it's, I mean, what I'm saying, everyone's crying. He's crying. I'm crying.
Oh,
I'm
my
like,
God.
We're all like, oh my God. And I look over at Ed and I said, you know, he's not bringing me out, is he? And Ed said, I don't know. And I looked over to the other, I said, he's not bringing me out, because he was looking over at me, and I said, we're going to go to commercial, right? And Ed said, I think he's going to bring you out. And I thought, you got to be kidding me. And sure enough, he said, we're going to bring out the guy that'll make this all better.
Oh,
and
no.
I went out, and it was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. And I mean, what jokes? Nothing's even appropriate for that moment, right? Nothing.
Right.
I don't care.
And
what,
we're sitting here
what
going,
stupid
like,
thing.
Well,
look,
what's
I got
punchline,
a boot with a kickstand for drunk people. Whatever the prop would be, it would be horrible, right? At that moment. So I just, I kind of looked down to think, what's the most dumbest, silliest, nothing? And I did, you know, like two jokes, nothing. Maybe the next third joke, the band, you know, the band is starting to laugh and do like a cymbal thing. And all because I was always one to name my book, I made the band laugh, because that's when you're on a TV show, the band's laughing, you know,
right?
Because they're hard to get the band to laugh. You know, so you've done good. So they were laughing, and finally the crowd started to come around. I did okay. And I came off, and Jerry came over, and he said, he said, I would say sorry about that, but you're the only guy that could do that.
Right.
And I just thought, well, that was nice of him to think that, but I was kind of wishing he would say, I'm sorry I did that. I'm sorry I did that to you.
Yeah, just because you can do it doesn't mean you want to do it.
Yeah, and you know, after that, they, you know, Ed came over and said the same thing. He says, he loves you so much, he knew that you could handle the spot, but I'm like, you know, it was not fun.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, what a... To tell that story now, there is also that kind of bit of like you say, I guess the further you get away and probably the more secure you are, you're like, that is pretty cool that he thought that. But also, maybe you could say that in the commercial break before I go on.
If he knew that you could do it, he could also give you the commercial.
I mean, you're right.
That's what I just commercial break. And then, I mean, it was rough.
What would be the gift is the compliment and allowing me to kill in the spot.
I did a basketball game. So, we met because I did a show called Rose Rabbit Lie, and Shania Twain brought you to the show.
Yes.
And so, and then I started going to your show, and I loved
it
so
much. She
dropped
him off today as well. It's amazing.
Really?
She takes
it great. She's so nice. I came to your show like 8 or 9 times in that first year I was here, because I loved it so much. But I was out of work after about 6 months being in Vegas, because that show that you went to closed down. And so I was like, I need to get a job in the 6 months. And one of the things I did was a basketball game, like that NBA halftime thing. And just before I went on, this kid went up and his mother had just died. And Mike was crying and telling the audience, like, you know, how much he loved his mother and missed his mother. And then they were like, and now, Piff the Magic Dragon. And I bombed so hard. The band was not laughing.
Yeah.
It was just a disaster.
Oh. Yeah, this was a halftime show? Like in the middle of the ring?
Yeah.
You were doing the middle. Isn't it normally like a big circus act or something?
I'd take anything I could get.
Well, I could only dream of that sort of gig. So, do you know who books that?
I do know who books that. And he couldn't look me in the eyes after when I was walking off.
Oh.
He was just
that's the worst.
Now, I wrote a joke for you once. Do you remember this?
Oh my God. Oh, what was it?
This is like one of my crowning achievements.
In amongst the entirety of Carrot Top's back
catalog. Let's see if it was one that's still on the show is not is rocking it.
I don't think it's still on the show.
Was it a Nixon joke? Yeah.
It also, it wasn't even a full joke. It was more of a topper.
Oh, like a little tag?
Yeah.
I love everyone. I love that when comics come to show and they're like, I got a tag. And it's, usually they are really good. You're good. Yeah. But then sometimes they're like, well, no, I can't go back to, you know, I can't go back to that, you know.
This was a joke that we talked about at lunch and you put in the show that night.
Oh, this is cool. Remember?
You right. were doing the thing about the iPhone 12 yeah. or whatever mm. and being a really big iPhone. And I said, you should have a really big charger.
Huh.
And you made a big charger.
I did.
Yeah.
I don't know, that's not the show anymore, but I remember that.
I don't think it made it past night one by the looks of things.
No, it was in there for a while.
It was in there for only the nights you would come.
It's on my resume. Yeah, right.
No, are you right? No, yeah.
Bring the charger back.
Oh, God, he's coming again. Yeah. Bring the charger in.
Let's
God,
go next week. I want to see the charger bit.
Oh, it's funny.
Well, that's one of the.
Yeah, I remember. Now you say that, I remember that we made it. Yeah. We made a big. Yeah, we made a big charger. Had the things on it, but
it's
I don't remember.
Proudest
I don't remember the punchline. I remember the prop with the big charger, but I remember the joke was that iPhone was big or something.
It was something about the iPhone being big.
Got the new iPhone. You see the charger?
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's good though. No, it was. It's already funny just saying.
Really
it.
Just wants to keep that writing.
It's funny saying
so.
It.
I just want to get that on tape.
Yeah.
So that I can have confirmation.
We can edit out the indifference. So
it's
going to
be
okay.
a 30-second podcast. And with just you going, yes, you.
Yeah,
okay,
yes,
yes.
You wrote me.
Yes, you did write a joke once.
It was a large charger.
Yeah. Before you were at MGM, what were you doing at that point? You were touring. You were doing clubs. Because we did clubs off when America's Got Talent happened, we mainly played clubs for a year.
Right.
And we upset so many owners because we'd have all these props and like we need the screen and we need the microphones. And it was just a nightmare. So we had to in the end go to small theaters, which we still play now, which is a lot easier. But when you were doing those clubs coming up, did you just get nothing but eye rolls from these owners and from the other comedians?
Maybe the first time around.
Yeah. And so they see you're funny.
Yeah. I mean, the first time I come, we would go through these clubs, they were like, what is, but then they would see the show and then they'd get, then yeah. when they booked me again, of course, then it was like a big deal. You know, Carrot Top, you know, the weekends or whatever, we'd do great. But for early on, sure, I always got that, you know. Yeah.
Did you manage to get on TV like, pretty early, or were you doing the rounds for a few years?
Oh no, it was definitely not right away, but it was earlier than maybe most. I mean, some friends of mine still have never gotten on TV. They've been doing it for 30 years, but
that's half the thing.
Right.
You were different,
I was different and unique, and it was made for television. It was, you know,
yeah.
everything is perfect. It was visuals. It's television. It's, you know,
and you can do anything from 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's
to
current
whatever,
and it's
yeah.
right. It's topical. It's current and it's visual and it's. It had, you know, it was, I knew it was going to work eventually, you know, but I never was on, people would come up to the, you know, all of a sudden, how come you're not on TV? Mike, I don't know. Like, I don't have that, my decision. Right. You know, I make the decision to be on TV. So.
Yeah, I had a guy come up to me the other day and he said, you know what you should do? You should like film this show and get put on Netflix. I was like, oh, you think I should have a Netflix special? You know, that was what was holding me back. Just the lack of the idea.
Yeah.
Now you've said it,
yeah.
I'm in.
How would that work?
Yeah, tell
Netflix
me. How
came along, do you remember when Netflix came along and I was like, so I'm going to give you money to watch TV? Hang
to
on,
send
what's
me a
going
DVD.
On? This will never work.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, yeah, in the post.
To lend me a DVD.
Yeah, that'll never work. Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it?
It's crazy.
Did you, obviously you've, you do, like you say, you tell stories and do kind of stand-up without the props too, and the props have been in. Was it always like from your first like 5 or your first 10 minutes, but did you always have props in the act? Or was it something you're like, oh, that prop bit's going well, I should do more of that? Like when you first started?
There wasn't props. And then I had one.
Right.
What was the first one?
Yeah, what was
it?
It was a
neighborhood crime watch sign that I stole.
Right.
And I would come on stage and I'd hold it up. It was a big metal neighborhood crime watch. I just said, sorry, I'm late, I'm in the neighborhood. And everybody laughed and I would say, how good is their crime watch if I'm watching their signs? And it was just a clever, instantly fun. And so I went to this club in Tampa and I auditioned
Which
for-
Which club?
the Comedy Corner,
right,
in West Palm Beach, and I went to because I was going to school in Boca, and so I would listen to the on the radio every day, you know, the Comedy Corner, but they had all the big names, Seinfelds and all this, you know, and I'd go down there, and I'd never even seen a comedy show, never, and I just would hear on the new 5 o'clock funnies on, and I went down and I said, can I audition? And I'd never done stand up. I never did. And so I went up and she's like, in the middle of the afternoon, no one there. She's like, well, tell me, do some of your act. And I was like, okay. So I just started doing what I did at the school. And I opened my, it wasn't a comic. I went up and I just said, hey, there's, you know, something about our parking at our school and books. And she, it was funny, but she's like, that's very, it's not very, it's specific to like, right, your college. I mean, she's like, you're playing, you know, the world. So I said,
you're
like, oh,
I'm a big name.
And she
I'm
said, come back. Yeah. Come back. If you could come up with something more broad.
Yeah.
Cause I like you already. I like That's your cool. style and your look and I like your cadence. So I went and, I had a Crime Watch sign on my, we'd stolen. And I just, I said, okay, I'll take that. And then there was the street that goes right through Boca Raton is called Butts Road. So me and my friends, I said, we got to take this. So I took it and that's where all the assholes live. So we took Butts Road and so I went down, I had the Crime Watch sign and Butts Road and one other one. And she said, like, where did you get that? I said, I stole it. And she says, if you had more stuff like this, I think you're onto something. I said, I can go steal more signs. And so I went around town and I just started finding all these funny road signs. There's one that said "Slow Children at Play," and they still have them. They're just a stick figure with no feet. And I said, "No wonder they're slow; they don't have any feet." And it would kill. Like, it's just people are like, "This is crazy." So, she said, "So it was all these signs that I would do. You know, no train horn between these hours. That's when you need the horn. Like, it's all these clever." And then she said, "I like all the visual stuff. Maybe if you could come up with some more." And I didn't even know what she meant. So I'm like, so I just came up with a head, an old lady head. That went on my hat. It had a spring on it because I live in Florida. It's all the old people. So I said, I made this hat for my grandma to wear when she's driving. So her head went above the seat and it would just kill. And I'd put that on and then I'd hold a hula hoop like it was a steering wheel. And people in Florida would just lose their mind. Like, this guy's, you know, he's talking to all of us at work, you know. I'd make up a joke about my hair. The hurricane did it or something. It's stupid. And that's when I just started doing more props. I had like a high heel with training wheels so women could learn how to walk, you know, just, and they had one for rednecks at big wheels. And it was all these, I just kept writing him. Here's a hanger for a midget. And I just kept writing all these props. And finally I had about 10 minutes and I went and auditioned and I won the thing at the Comedy Corner. And it was just like, people were so mad. I mean, the comics were mad that because there was this, who's this guy that I know that just came in and would, with all this, I said, but I had to build the shed. You know, it wasn't like, I used to always think that from day one too. You're giving me a hard time for being a prop guy, but I made all this. I like created it.
Right. Yeah.
Because Regis would say that to me when I did the show. Where do you get all this stuff? And I said, I make it.
Right.
And he didn't understand that.
Yeah.
What do you mean you make it? I said, I create it. I think of it and I build it. And he's like, oh, I thought you just found this at the junkyard. I'm like, how would you find a prop? You could find the prop to make it,
right?
But you're not just going to find a...
You finished piece of...
A finished
material.
Piece of, oh, that looks funny.
You craft it like you do, you know, so I'd find any joke. Yeah.
Right, I'd find a little mini toilet, and I would sit there and think, what's funny about a toilet? Oh, I'll put a plate on it. It's a plate for bulimic, so they could eat and throw up. And that was what that was the formula. I would see something funny, and then I'd build something with it. And then people were... And the comics were, you know... Behind my back, they hated me, but then but then we all go to Denny's afterwards, and they were, you know, we were friendly. And then Dan Whitney, Larry the Cable Guy, was the reason I got into that whole thing. He started when I did at the same club.
Yeah.
And he was like, let him go up there. This guy's great. And they were like, you know, they were fighting it. And Larry said, Dan said, no. This guy's great. And I ended up winning it. And we became friends. And then I had never done anything longer than, you know, 5 minutes. And he called me up and he said, I've got this gig in Palm Beach. It's, you got to do like 20 minutes. And I'm like, I don't have 20 minutes. He's like, and I remember him saying, well, just build more shit. And I said, that's hilarious. And that's how I would become a middle act. You just build more stuff. And if you build more stuff, you can become a headliner. So the more stuff I built, the longer time I could do. And so I just kept building and building and building and building. Except it wasn't all A stuff. It would be like my A stuff. And then at the bottom was my B, C crappy stuff.
Yeah.
So once I had one full trunk of like A stuff, I felt, you know, I could really go out somewhere in middle and open up for, I opened it for a whole bunch of people. But I had 25 minutes of just every one of them is a surefire hit. Yeah. You know, it was a Barry Bonds bat with pills in it. You know, whatever the prop was, it was like, it's going to work. It was all A stuff, you know.
Did you have to?
Now I have about, I still have the same amount of A stuff. I see more crap than I have A stuff.
It's, you know what? Listening to that, and maybe I'm just, maybe this is the point, is I'm having the same realization in, you know, some of the terms you use around it. Because, you know, the way you're talking there, I'm like, well, yeah, this is just a visual representation of writing material. Like, you know, you have your A stuff, you have your B stuff, and it's only that it's tangible.
Yeah.
You know, you're crafting and spending the same amount of, you know, time and thought. And also, like, the material's kind of in two different ways. A lot of it, the stuff you're doing, the early stuff, it's observational humor, right? You're sure. Finding the joke that people look at every day in that right. sign or whatever, but they've not put two and two together.
Right, sure.
Or you're creating something weird where you're putting two completely right. different odd things
exactly.
together.
There was
but it's
one,
just the same as straight stand-up.
Well, and that's exactly true. And that's when George Carlin, now, you know, coming from George Carlin, that was, you know, probably the most surreal thing in the world. Not only did he know, you know, knew of me, but he knew my bits, you know? So when I met him at the airport one time, just Philadelphia airport, he just... It was one of those guys, I didn't want to walk and bother him. So I said, I don't want to bother you. And he said, you're not bothering me. I said, I'm a comedian. He goes, yeah, Carrot Top. I know you are. And it was just like,
wow.
It gives me chills right now. I was like, oh my God, like you, and he goes, no, you know, I like that. I had a couple that, and it's weird. I remember exactly what he said. He said, I like your, the ice tray thing. And I'm like, ice tray. That was like my very early one. It was an ice tray that had a level on it. So you could put it back in the freezer without spilling the water. Right now, exactly what you're saying. Everyone
hits everyone
knows doing that, but they got no one thought put a love on it. So he's like, that shit, right? I said, oh, and he said, yeah, this asthma thing. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, oh, it was an asthma thing that had a party favor on it. So you could do asthma, but still on New Year's Eve, you could still, and he just thought that was so, he's like, that's clever shit, right? So I was like, you know, all these other comics give me crap. Right. You know, George right. Carlin says, that shit, you know, I had my closer, my big closer in all the clubs for years was, and I'm probably the most proud of this one as a prop, was the paper cups and string phone, you know, the silly prop, you know, mm-hmm. hey, what's going on? Like kids, hey, you know, we're in the fort, you have the two cups. Well, same thing, I'm sitting there one night. Maybe it was a TV show, I don't know, I was watching. They had the cups and string. And I just was watching it. I said, there's got to be an updated version to this. The telephone is just someone's talking on a phone to another phone. Isn't there call waiting now? So I had another cup that came out of the other cup for call waiting. So he'd say, hey, what's going on? I have to call you back. I have another call. Hey, what's going on? And it was like killed, right? And then I had three cups for conference calling that come out. And then I say, call forwarding. And I throw the pop into the crowd. And then I had a clear cup for caller ID. I know it's you, pick up. And it was just, it was like bam, da, bam, da, bam. And that was what Carlin said. That shit is right. fucking brilliant. I remember him saying brilliant. I thought George Carlin thought something I did was brilliant. That made my,
right.
That kind of was the end of me caring what anybody right. said. You know, it had to be that
yeah.
one
well,
moment.
It's kind of, if you can only see the props, which is hilarious because right. of course right. it's so much what you do and you can't see behind it. Maybe that performer hasn't really grasped the craft of comedy is, you know, because like you're telling me that I've never seen you do the cup bit, but that you look at that and you're like, oh yeah, and there's that topper, and then you find something else, and then you find something else, and then that's and then it's done. It's the same as
it's like the big charger.
The big charger.
The big charger.
No, it's a really good
big charger.
Now you said that. I got to find that because that really was funny. It had a big, we met at a foam.
Oh,
it had
see,
the silver,
now he's giving you what you want.
It had the silver prongs on it. It had a big core. Yeah, that, you find the charger for it.
I think it's funny. We were talking the other day about this. It's like, because, you know, like I'm in a dinosaur outfit and I got a tiny dog. And it's like the most, when I would go into clubs, people were just like, what are you doing? What is this shit show? I remember, like, you know, setting up all my gear, and this comedian in the UK, just being absolutely disgusted. And he said, you know what? When I went to Australia, all I had with me was four pairs of underwear. And I was like, well, I don't know.
Yeah, why are you living? You don't have to live like that.
I think you could bring some clothes.
Right.
I think that's still staying true to your art. But, you know, then you do it and it's like, but once you have a few of those things, they're like, you know, for me, it was like Penn and Teller. Like, I loved what I did. And, you know, like Paul's had some like incredible highlights over the years. And we were talking about this. Once you have those, people can't take it away anymore. Right. You know, if somebody like says something rude or whatever to me about my act, it just sort of like it's water off a duck's back now.
Well, there's personal taste and there's like respect and they're kind of, you know, some things might not be to but someone's taste, just, but
you can't argue when it's good.
Exactly.
You know, it's good. You can say, oh, I'm not into it, but you can't say, oh, it's not good.
I might get absolutely shot down for this. When I say I'm not a Beyoncé fan, I mean, like, I don't have her albums and everything, but right. I went to that concert and I was there going, just the craft and the show and the big hoo-ha.
Oh,
and I was like, and obviously now I am a fan, but like, what I mean is, you know, I don't know her music other than pop culture, yeah. But I went to that and I was like, wow, yeah. This could be one of the greatest entertainers I've ever seen and one of the most amazing shows I've ever seen.
I call her Bed Bath and Beyonce. No, but it's true about that. When you go see something, you don't have to, we all get this. I get it every night. And my meet and greet, they'll say, you know, we didn't want to come to this.
Right.
Yeah. I'm like, oh,
husband brought, you know, my
wife. They all do it.
Yeah, you were much funnier.
This one hates you, but she's here, she's fought all day.
Yeah.
And I say, me too. I didn't want to come, but I had to. But they always, and it's just so funny because it happens every day. It's almost like, God dang, people just always say that.
And it's easy to focus on the thing that they're not trying to give you, which is like mentioning that. But
I hope it's good because
there is something awesome in that because. The real reason for getting to that is for them to say, we loved you. And I suppose there's something better knowing that little bit of like, they weren't even in the mood for it. And do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that a lot.
We have some billboards for the show at the moment, which is Piff the Magic Dragon, surprisingly good.
Surprisingly good.
Yeah. Because all the time people come up to us and...
I hate magic. You get that all the time, right?
I hate magic.
Oh, yeah. I hate comedy.
We had a publicist that we were trying to work with for a long time, and we were chasing them, and we couldn't get them to, like, really talk to us. And then, you know, we did that for so long, I went off the idea. I was like, well, this is not the person we need representing us. But they eventually came to the show, and as soon as the show finished, they ran out, and they were like, oh, my God, I loved it. And I was like, oh, thank you. They said, no, you don't understand. It's really good.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know. I understand you didn't think it was good.
Yeah.
So, and we didn't end up using that guy at all. But it's just like, you know, people just tell you what they're really thinking. Yeah. Without realizing.
It's weird when people go like, oh, you know, and I don't like comedy. I feel like it's like saying, I don't like music or breathing or, you know, like what you mean is you don't like what you thought was that whole genre.
Yeah. And it's all right. When people come in with low expectations, it's easier to exceed them as well.
Oh, yeah. Better than just nothing worse than having high expectations.
You know, yeah, exactly.
It was so good. I hope it's good tonight. I'm like, I do too.
Oh, it's nothing worse.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to love Steve. He's the funniest at the office party. And then you get to the office party like, oh, God.
Yeah, we do a pre-show meet and greet. And I actually just cancel them for the rest of the year. But I'm always a bit like, I don't want to meet people before the show.
This is weird. So my whole career, we had after-show meet and greets.
Yeah.
Always. And I don't know what happened one time. We had moved it. We had to move it to before the show. I don't know if it was on the road or if it was here in Vegas. And then all of a sudden I was like, I kind of like the before, which is, I don't like before or after, to be honest with you, right? You just want to go hide. But somehow we moved them to the four and I think we get more. One, you get the feel of the odd. I get a feel of what they're going to like. Last night, this has got a good energy. This is going to be a good crowd. They're already jazzed just for the meet and greet. And they would say things like that, like, you know, and my mom hates you, but she's here. She's fought all day. She didn't want to come. She said, oh, I did. You know, well, you hold on a second. But then you start putting that in the show and the after show, you're already tired. And that's when I'm more worried. You come out and they're like, hey, did you have a good time? They said, yeah, it was good, you know.
I feel, yeah, right. I feel like it came from the rock and roll world where, like, I think before no one's going to be in any state after a show, right, if they've played.
Yeah, before they're so excited they can't wait. After they're like, yeah, it was all right.
Right.
That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're like, no, it was good. It was good. You didn't do the thing with, I thought you, that one you did. I'm like, oh, the big charger. Yeah, I like the big charger.
Yeah, the big charger.
That might be a Vegas thing.
We do a free meet and greet for everyone after the show. So we do a paid one where we do like tricks and all this, like, you know, all this stuff that we spend like 20 minutes with them. And I like meeting the people, but yeah, I always feel like, oh God, I hope I don't let these people down. And then after the show, we say, hey, you can come back and cut the line if you want. And if they don't come back after the show, I'm like, oh no.
Yeah.
But most of the time they do and they loved it.
Yeah.
And there's nothing better. It's like, yeah, you gave them a great night.
Meet and greet.
Yeah, I feel like the pre-show meet and greet is definitely left from, you know, I don't think that the Rolling Stones were in any fit state at the end of their gig to be meeting the public.
Right, sure. No.
Or public that they didn't want to meet, should we say.
Yeah, right.
You know? Yeah, so let's get that. Let's get that, before, the paid customers before done before. The
show, yeah, yeah. True. But, yeah, they're you know, they're fans. Oh, and I always want to call it an eat and greet and have people, we just eat. We eat and greet. I greet them. And, yeah, we greet. Hi, and we eat something and we leave.
I worked with a promoter who called them Greet the Meat.
Greet the Meat.
Greet the Meat. Oh, yeah. My God, that's awesome. Oh,
right, it's great.
That's not a nice way to talk about the people who bought tickets to your show.
No.
Oh, damn. Well,
I had a sound guy once say, well, when the meat baffles get in here.
When the what?
Well, you know, a baffle that is the acoustic equipment for like dampening sound.
Okay.
And so he was referring, because a room sounds different when there's audience in it, especially some particular rooms, because of the way the sound bounces back. So he's like, oh, when the meat baffles get in here, it won't sound as bad.
Oh my God.
That's great.
I was like, but that does sound like something a sound guy would say.
Yeah, yeah, right.
One of the funniest people, meet and greet, that stories that I've heard was Howie Mandel. He's a prankster, and he always has been. But he tells us one, and he's told it so many times, though I know it's true. He would have his meet and greets. I don't know, after, before the show. I don't remember. It doesn't matter for the purpose of this. But they would all line up, and he had a table, a card table, with a thing over it, you know, looked like a buffet table. And his pictures were on the thing. He would sit under it, under the table. So people would come in, the manager lined them all in there, and they're all waiting for him to come and sit behind the table, because all the pictures. And so he'd say, from under the table, he'd say, whoever's next can come in. And they're all looking around, right? And he would literally, people would get on the ground, go under the table, and he'd shake their hand, and then he'd grab a picture, and he'd sign it down there, and they go back out. And he'd come, one by one, would go
like
under the table, like a fort, and he'd go, how are you? Good to see you. How are you? Thanks for coming to the show. And then he'd say, I'll sign your picture. And how great is that, committing to that?
That
and the people were like, I guess you get to get under the... No, it's great. It's like, I'm going to steal that.
That's so great
idea.
Yeah.
People who just do... And they're all walking out going, wow, he really is a germaphobe. Wow, he really is.
I think that was even prior to him being a germaphobe. It was just back in the day,
because
it was
great.
Early on. But he's always would do those stupid things, which we all kind of do too. But that was a great meet and greet one. Like, he was under the table. He didn't want to see people.
I love it.
But he would still see him. He would just be in his fort, like you said. He would just be under the table. In the dark. No,
I'm sort of like just those sort of surprising things where somebody's going the extra mile when you just don't have to do it.
Well, you've got a great one. I love that when people ask for something signed, and you've got a stamp.
Yeah, I definitely signed my Piff stamp.
He's got like a librarian stamp.
Yeah. That's great.
You know, I like those.
No, but I, you know, we did that stuff all the time. The other thing was, we went to see J-Lo, Jade and I, and her security came out and he said, oh, you guys excited about seeing J-Lo? And everyone's like, yeah, you guys know her music. You know her films. Yeah. Well, she does not know you. So if you reach into your pocket, you will be tased. If you give her a gift, you will be tased. If you do this, and it was just like these like 12 things that you could do to get tased by J-Lo. And so like, we were all like, just like, okay, we're sorry. And just like, hello, J-Lo, we've got to move along. Don't want to get tased. And so Jade started doing that speech for me at our meet and greet. And
the same way?
Same way.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yes. No eye contact. you know, if you have a gift, burn it, all that sort of stuff.
Oh, like as a bit. That's great.
Yeah, they loved it. So I loved it.
I love that. I can't remember who it was. You might know, but...
I did those. I did the Definitely Signed by Stamp, and people would get upset that I didn't sign it.
Right.
So I had to like go back and sign it like a...
I can't remember who it was, but it was like another lounge icon act, like an old Vegas. I don't want to say old because it's older, but I'm genuinely, it's kind of like the era I wish I was in, and probably most people think my act should have been in that era too. But it was a pretty famous comic or stand up, and they'd be out, not quite milling about, but at the door as you're coming in, like an usher almost, but glass of alcohol in one hand and a cigar in the other. Can't for the life remember. I'm not sure it was in Vegas, but it was someone they wouldn't expect when you come to their show that they're going to be meeting you.
Yeah,
and he'd be like, the reason for the two props was no handshake. He'd be like, thanks for coming. And obviously it wasn't everyone.
He'd
be like, thanks for coming. Nice to see you. And the ushers would be keeping the moving. There's no time for a photo, no time for it, but he's just there.
That's
and no
great.
One's expecting it. And so then they come in, and then I'm sure he would biff off by the time most of the people were in and hide somewhere. But then the band would play, and please welcome to the stage. I gotta remember from my friend who it was, so-and-so, and he'd come out through the audience and up as if he'd been at the door the whole time.
Right.
And the warmth, firstly, he was quite famous, so they weren't, I wish I could remember who it was, they weren't expecting that. So they've already exceeded their expectations. And then his style was kind of more relaxed. And then by the time you walk up on the stage, I was like, well, wow, that guy's already gone above and beyond. Wow. And now he's starting his act. And he would only stand there for like the first 70% of the crowd that would see him as they walked in. I thought it was such a great, great little trick, but also like gave them something, but also like you almost warmed them up for you, you know?
Yeah.
What was it like here when you first came here? What year was that?
It's all black and white.
Yeah.
I first came here, my goodness, there was... half of the hotels you see now.
Yeah.
So the number of showrooms and people that performed here was, half of what we have now, maybe two-thirds of what we had.
Well, who was if still- you put all the arenas and stadiums in now.
Yeah, the MGM Grand had just been built when I got, so that was brand new.
Who was still playing here who we may have lost or whatever, but it's like, when you were here, you're like, oh my God, so-and-so.
Was Tom Jones playing?
Because you've worked with
Tom Jones, Carlin. But, yeah. Well, when I was playing the MGM Grand, we split the room with him. Shared the room would be a better way. I do my two-week. The two was Tom Jones. I would come in.
Yeah.
George Carlin.
Were Penn and Teller still there?
I think Penn and Teller might have been, or they came after that. But it was always, the big names and go see Rodney Dangerfield, Tom Jones, Carlin. And it was great, you know. Tom Jones, Rodney was one of the best ones. He told me to come backstage, and I had my mom with me, I think, and he opens the door. The door is already open. It's the same room I would use, and he has a robe on and just open. And he's just like, hey, mom. And I was like, oh, Jesus. You know, it just, again, not if he did it on purpose.
Right.
It's just brilliant, you know.
Yeah.
I've had that happen a few times. I don't know why people think I need to see that, but I was on a movie set with Alec Baldwin, and they take me up there filming the scene, and I'm supposed to go. No, I was filming Dennis Bobby. He was up filming with the girl from a woman from Sex and the City. And so I'm like, I want to say hi to him because I'm filming something without him that day in like in a studio. They said, yeah, no, Alec wants to meet you. I said, great. So they take me up all the stairwell and through the production. And he's standing there. She walks out. She says, oh, hey, you're in the movie. Said, yeah, real nice. Kim Cattrall. Then he walks out, completely same thing, just buck naked, just a robe open. And he's like, I always wanted to be, thanks for being in the movie. And I was like, I said, thanks for which one do I shake? It was just the most bizarre thing. And I remember thinking like I would probably close that.
Yeah.
It was just a lot. It was not a lot. It was just a lot. It was a lot of hair. A lot of. It's just a lot. I'm like.
I mean, when Carrot Top is telling you
It's a lot.
This is
here.
A lot. This is a bit much.
So this, yeah, but, yeah much. What I'm saying, it's a bit much.
Like, it's a bit much.
But it was, but yeah, and then I, and,
people,
you know,
assume because you're such a larger than life character, yeah, maybe. Yeah. It's so weird, isn't it?
I would never you do that to somebody. Though. I don't think anyone would assume.
Right. But it's interesting. You created like a brand. You must be, your name has been used in, as like, I have a joke about being in Vegas when I say, and I use, I name check you in. It's nothing about you. It's just that your brand is so, everybody knows Carrot Top.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, you've been in a lot of other people's material, right? Yeah. You know what I mean?
I have been in a lot of people's material.
I think Copperfield, you.
I feel like there's a.
I think one, you're doing something right. When
well,
you're
yeah,
like,
the best one. The best
when
one
you've
was.
You've got a list of people
yeah, no,
that are
yeah.
using your.
Well, the best
name.
One, we show it in the show yeah. tonight, and it's one and of like, those moments that just, you know, every night I watch it, I just like. So there's a George Carlin bit in one of his specials, and he says, you go to the airport and they ask you, who packed your bags? And did you pack your bags yourself? And he goes, no, Carrot Top packed my bag. And we show the clip and it's like the whole crowd goes nuts. Right. And then I get chills and I watch it and I'm thinking, yeah. I remember when it happened, the special came out and people were like, it was before you had social media.
Yeah.
It would just say, have you seen the new HBO special? And I said, no. And I said, he mentioned you. And I'm like, he mentions me in an HBO special? And I go, yeah, and it's funny. He says, who packed your bags? Fucking Carrot Top packed my bags. Next question. And it's just, the people show it on things. But
that's like the greatest commercial ever.
That was the epitome of people, you know, using me as a punchline.
Well, there's like the punchline of like, because someone's done something or whatever. But like, Copperfield, people think magic that Vegas is right. Copper. Like that's, you know,
yeah,
my little right. character that when I was a Mad Apple, I was playing this guy from the Bronx, and I said, I'm here on a comedy exchange tonight. I get to play Vegas and Carrot Top's driving Uber in the Bronx. And that was the joke. But it's like, I needed a name that was right. like synonymous.
Yeah, everyone,
and it is funny. Yeah, and I'm yeah. like, and it would be funny that I got the gig and someone else has got to do yeah. this. And it's two syllables. And so it's like, I'm looking for my writer's validation.
Yeah.
Right? No, I'm kidding. No, but it's so funny. Like, you know, you've done something right when it's like, bam. Okay, I know it's Heinz. It's this. It's
yeah,
that. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah,
so
but
so
I feel
cool.
like there's also
so
like
cool.
a bit of a renaissance in the last few months. Like, Joe Rogan is going on about how much he loves you. You crushed on Kill Tony. That was amazing.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
How was that? Because I look at that thing and I go, I mean, I'm sure, well, you've just talked about it. We think that everyone's fearless, but it's like some of those videos are brutal, but it's so popular and so good. And there's expectation, whereas it's easy for someone that's not known to just go on there and like be a surprise. Like you're saying, you know, if you're lower expectations, it's easier. But like, how was it?
Well, no, I had a lot of hesitation about it because I didn't really know him. And I know the show's kind of, it's now that I've done it, I know a little more about yeah. how the feel of it, and it's not really as brutal.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, when I told him, I got on the phone with him before I did it. I said, listen, I'm not a mean guy. Like,
yeah.
every time I've been asked to be a judge on something, I've always turned it down because
yeah,
I can't
like
tell
judging.
People.
I don't like
criticizing
roasting.
People.
Yeah. I hate.
And I don't like, I, yeah, same, unless it's just about the same exact. So he said to me, no, you just be you. And I said, I know, but I watched the show and everybody's just ripping on these young comics. And I said, you know, coming from me, the guy that got ripped on my whole life,
right,
including
right.
till now, for me to sit up and say, you know, well, now what does Carrot Top have to add to my, and once we did it, it was not only, it was so fun. And I did play myself. I wasn't mean.
Yeah.
I would be honest. I said, that was great. And he said, oh, well, thanks. And they do one of these, like, Carrot Top, so it was good. I said, however, I would change one thing. You know, and they were in a nice way, just to critique him.
Yeah.
And it was just an observation. And once I did it, he was like, oh, and he walked up to me after. He says, that's going to be my new. He walked out and he was about 4 feet, maybe 4 feet tall. And it's an old, although they didn't plan it. See, when a short guy comes or a tall guy comes out and the microphone
yeah,
stand
right.
is too high or too short, that's a thousand people
yeah.
have done, right? A thousand. But Steve Martin did the, ready for the Incredible Shrinking Man and close your eyes. And he did. But this guy didn't plan it. He came out. The guy before him was like 6'5". He left the mic there. And this guy comes out and he grabs the mic and puts the stand back and goes into his act. And I'm like,
wow, yeah.
So I it gets all done, and I said, it was great. And he said, yeah. Nothing to, you know, Tony, anything you, there's one thing, I don't know if you play, if you plan it every night, but do you always plan, you don't go after the same guy, do you? He's like, no, I've never done this. I said, well, use the mic. You should have said something about the mic right away. Like when you pulled it up, just leave it there and say, you know, can't see me or move it back, something. And he said, well, that would be a prop. And I said, no, it's not a, it's already there. It's, you're not doing it right. As a prop. It's just reference it. You're not using it. You're not, it's not a, it's a prop.
Yeah.
Which is, it is though. It's a prop. It's there.
Yeah. Like the floor is a prop. Too,
right. But like, and I say, you know, people have always used the microphone stand for jokes. That's, I mean, from day one, it had one round thing. Some people were like, my one arm's bigger. Like,
yeah.
You
look,
you know, use it as a metal detector. I mean, thousands of fucking jokes with microphones. I just told him you should have referenced it. And then after, he's one of the props. I said, no, it's not. You're a prop act. It's a prop that you could utilize if it's going to be there. Make a joke about it. Because it was kind of awkward that you just put it back and didn't have anything funny about it. And then he came over later and said, "That's, I'm going to use that." I said, well, it, you know.
You're going to kill.
Try it.
It's going to kill.
It'll kill. It'll be better than you just moving the mic.
And if not, we will send you a novelty iPhone 12 charger.
Yeah, try that.
And you can be like, this is a normal size charger. And then you've got another bit. But I think that's probably good because those shows, they need light and shade, right? You know, and they don't need everybody to be roasting everybody. That's so cool.
Yeah, it was a really fun show.
Yeah,
I'm doing it again, I think, in a couple of weeks. So it's going to be
great.
And the second time will be, you know, probably more fun because I know now. Yeah. I know that because I was, you know, I didn't know if they were, you just never know. Like, they really like me.
Yeah, you're going to be, are you being sort of,
I felt like that with Joe Rogan. I was like, you know, I was just apprehensive. Just because, oh man, am I going to go on there and they're going to, you know, Howard Stern, way back when I did, you know, this is way back in '90s, they put you in this little room. I mean, literally, you couldn't even fit these two chairs in this room. And there's a speaker and me and my publicist and whoever was with me, you're just waiting. And they talk about you for 10 minutes. So they're going on, you know, and it's Carrot Top, what is the thing, it's weird, and, it, you know, he's kind of strange, whatever, and it's weird looking to you, and where I'm sitting there, and then they go.
And they're doing it on purpose. You're overhearing, well, you're overhearing a conversation that he knows you're hearing.
Right.
That's horrible.
And then they say, all right, I bring him in.
Wow.
And you walk in, and the first thing he says to me is, oh, Jesus, you're a normal, you're a good looking guy. And I said, he said, I thought you were some weird, you're a good looking, and then Robin chimes in, you're very handsome, and I my God, you have great eyebrows. I'm like, eyebrows? She's like, there was a picture, you know, there's a picture in People magazine, and they took it, and I had this fucking, I'm like, well, it was altered, this is my eyebrow. Right. It was just the weirdest beginning of a show. Hey, you're XR handsome, man, I like your eyebrows. I'm like, my eyebrows, Jesus Christ. But it turned out to be a great interview, and he loved me, but I didn't, I was terrified going in thinking, oh man.
Oh, I think I'd have left.
I'm gonna get lambasted.
He was one of the judges on AGT when I was on it. And I walked out.
God, was that how long ago you were on? Because he was,
10 years ago.
It was like Hasselhoff, then him, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Was it like season 3?
No, it was season 10.
Was it? Oh.
He's 20 now, so 10 years ago.
God.
So I walked out, and one of the things I love is when people like roll their eyes at me at the beginning, because I know I've got all the jokes ready to go. I know I'm going to turn it around. And he was just like, oh my God, what the fuck is this shit? And then as soon as I started, he loved it. And he like became, you know,
well, my biggest that opening picture has every trapping of someone who's just gone, I'm gonna go on America's Got Talent dressed like a dragon and do something. And then there's no act. But like, that's how it started for you. But then you got an act.
Wait, did it work?
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, he's such a legend, that guy.
Yeah, he was nice to me too. I just, you know, I always, I judge people. They were nice to me. Nice to, nice to me. You know, people, Bill Maher, I mean, certain people, they've just always been nice to me. And the ones that aren't nice to me, I don't bring them up, you know?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you don't talk about them.
There's enough people being nice,
There's enough nice people,
Yeah.
Well, there's not that many mean people, but, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of nice people.
You find what you're looking for, I think.
Oh, that's a good, yeah.
I mean,
obviously, you know, when you leave this room, then we start the real lambasting, you know, that's...
I mean, I remember when Shania Twain just was gushing over you. I mean, she came and says, have you seen, this is the funniest, you've got to see him. She drug me down there. And And it was great. And she just was like, right? And I'm like, yeah.
That's so cool about this town. I mean, like, also, you know, for me, I think that's, talk about balance on a show. Like, I'm sat here with you two and it feels so normal, but it's like, there's also part of me that's like, oh my God, like, my friend is in Vegas doing a show in this space. I'm that just was sitting
first,
next to Carrot Top.
The first year I knew you, I was like, it's oh my like, God.
That's Carrot what's so Top awesome no, about
Carrot
this space.
Carrot Top knows my name.
I say this to people all the time when they go, oh, I live in Vegas or whatever. And then they sort of think about it. I'm like, well, firstly, it's really cool. A lot of the stuff that's happening here, it's really even more amazing things happening. But I'm like, that there is a community, and it's like, where else would Shania Twain have, you know, come across your show? Do you know what I mean? It's like, damn. If you're touring, it's probably not going to happen, you know, but here you're in such close proximity that eventually you're like, you move here and 5 years later, you're finally sitting next
you're
to Carrot Top.
You're starting to sting.
But you know what I mean? It's such a cool town for that. What we should actually find out is, for someone that's been in this town for, you know, quite a while, we should find out.
Well, that is, you do see that. I mean, you know, from that, this kind of sightings, I mean, that's kind of fun. Yeah. Certain people that come to your show, you know, and you know, at the end of the day, they're just people. I lived in LA for too long to, you know, you kind of, I mean, you're always starstruck, but I'm at Starbucks and I'm like,
right,
that looks like Jack Nicholson. I'm like, no, it is Jack. I mean, I forget, I'm in Malibu. It is Jack Nicholson. Like, it's just, you know, that's Cher getting ice cream. No, it is Cher getting ice cream. You know,
yeah.
You're in Hollywood. You're in Beverly Hills. So that is, you know.
That's what you're going to see.
And it's always weird. The hotel, I was, you know, whether New York or LA, there are always these, you know, and you sit down at the bar and you look over and you're like, Jesus Christ. I mean, it was Don King, me, Cindy Lauper, you two, and there's one other from the David Letterman's band leader. Paul Schaefer, and his buddy Eugene Levy, and I'm like, all in the same.
This is literally.
And
the
I'm like, what? And I don't know. To say hi to any of these people. I want to, but I'm not gonna. You know, right. Maybe they'll say, oh, hi. So I'm just. I had ordered a drink, and Don King says to me, "You got some weird hair," and I just thought. It's coming from Don King. Like, he didn't do it on purpose. He really thought I had weird hair.
That's fucking awesome.
It was just so awesome. And I said, right.
No one would believe you if you put that on your poster. But it's great.
It'd be in a movie, that'd be too scripted. But he said, yeah, you got some weird hair. And I said, thank you. And I looked, you know, Cindy. And then when finally Paul Schaefer and then went to walk out, because Paul, I knew, I mean, you know, we would say we're best friends, but he knew. So he said, hey, you know, Eugene. And it was just, that was awesome. Yeah, surreal. And you're like, Paul Schaefer and Eugene Levy. It's like, how are you guys friends?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't run any of my social media. Do you do any of that
do
stuff?
Do I? What?
Do you do any of your social media?
Some of it.
Oh, you do?
I mean, just personal posts if I'm on a plane or I do, you know, something happens.
Come on. Are you telling me you don't follow Carrot Top?
No, I don't. I don't. I deleted everything again.
No, you don't have anything anymore.
I think I might have. I think I follow you.
Oh. I follow you.
We follow.
There's some great late night lip syncing. Janice follows you. I love it.
I thought you did though, because I follow you, and I think it's following.
I think you do.
You never comment or like anything I do, but
I'm on it. Yeah.
He's not on it. The account will definitely.
All I do. The only thing I do is I doom scroll. Like, and then it, you know, you get like the algorithm.
Yeah, if you have ADHD, it's not good.
I just post things that are fun for me. You can tell the ones that I don't post are about business ones or something.
Yeah.
But if it's just something that happened to me in a plane or I find something humorous.
Yeah, I see you in Florida a lot.
Having a good old sing song.
I was going to do this. I was going to do this.
It's always cheap. I'm like, this guy is having a good time. And I like singing along. It totally makes
I was fun. Just on the plane. A couple things happen on the plane. You know, planes, we get a lot of material out of this guy. They come by with the towel.
Yeah.
You give the hot towel. Great. And that's really hot. You're like, oh, fuck. So they give you a towel and you wipe your hands with it and you put it there and they come by with the prompt, right? I'm just on a flight. They give out the hot towels. These two guys are here and a guy next to me, they don't know each other. They give them the towel and they're wiping their face with it, which is, I think it's just weird. And he takes his hat off. He's doing his head and his fucking arms.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, all of them. And I'm like, It's not. It's for your hands before they feed you. It's not. You take a fucking bath before you get on the plane. This guy's wiping legs down his armpits. Like, God damn,
that's horrible.
I will.
I'm watching. I'm like, God Almighty.
On a long haul flight, I will put it just the steam like this. Really? That is quite nice.
I said the face. I see that, but then they start wiping their arms and legs down. No, it's just supposed to. Took his hat off.
I don't think it's even
Texas
like
Texas hat on.
I don't think it's even supposed to be washing. I think it's supposed to be like. Kind of therapeutic or just like hot. That's why it's hot.
It's just hot. You put your hands and then you eat. It's like, yeah. Right?
And also it's cold within two. You're like, you've either got it. It's either that or
scalding
that.
Or nothing.
By the time you get there or wherever else.
Jesus. I always ask the guy next to me if he could feed me. I said, can you just.
Is that when you're. Yeah. Was it Johnny or Billy McComb or someone used to do the bit where they'd get on the flight. And yeah, I love people that have airplane bits just for themselves, you know, yeah. Like they get on the flight and you say, as he's coming in, he'd say to the cabin attendant, I need to take some medication. Would you mind just bring me a little water? And she said, yeah, I'll get it for you. Now he'd go straight to his seat and then he'd sit down and then go up and he'd go up to the air vent and he'd go, could I have a glass of water, please? And then he'd just sit down and wait for the water to arrive. Oh, thank you, sir. And everyone else would be like, what the hell? That was like
a good bit.
That's a really good little bit. Or you know, the little bulb with the with some whiskey or liquor in, and you go up and as if it's coming out of the overhead.
This?
I like those bits.
I don't really like talking to people in public.
Well, now
so
on
anything
plane,
like that.
Shtick and jokes on planes, not a good idea.
The flight attendant,
days.
I just got 2 days ago. I was on the plane, and they're so nice. They're like, "Can we get a picture before we land?" And I said, "Sure." And so I go up, and the ladies, so they're just these cute old ladies, and they were putting on lipstick, and I'm like, yeah, Jesus Christ, you know, they're getting ready for this picture. And she said, oh, you're so sweet, you're going to take a picture? I said, yeah, I'm just going to go smoke a cigarette, I'll be right back. And just their reaction was so
on the
fucking,
plane.
Yeah, it's great. I said, yeah, we'll take it. Are you guys finished getting, I'm just going to do a quick cigarette, I'll be right back. And they just were like, looked at me and I'm like, I'm kidding. She's like, you can't. I said, no, I'm not going to smoke on the plane. They're in love with me. They're like, you can't, honey, you can't. I said, no, I was kidding. But it was so perfect. The timing was like, she's like, oh, you're going to, we're just getting ready. I said, you got time. I'll take a quick smoke. Just a quick smoke. I did have a guy on the plane last trip home to Florida that did go into the bathroom and was smoking pot. And we're all, that's the story of my life. It doesn't stay. It doesn't
stay. Yeah, that's an hour and a half.
Oh, no.
That's it right there.
That's
I'm
it.
Good. I'm good for about.
Oh, what kind of cheap piece of shit microphone arm is that?
It's fucking thing.
Did you get?
That's good. Even the mic was saying, it's not a good story.
Even the mic.
You don't need to hear the story. The guy smoked. Now he goes in there, but he's in there for like, you know, longer than normal. So it's always weird when someone goes in there for like 10. Okay, whatever they're doing. It's just like, it is hard to move in there. So maybe he's just trying to get in and get out and whatever, right? It's only like 10 minutes. And I've got a friend. And so she's like, I said, there's someone in there. And she's like, well, he's been there for like 15. I said, I know. And I'm like, do you want to go? Or am I like, you going? He comes walking out at 15 minutes. And right when he opens the door, this big yellow siren. I've never seen a yellow siren on a plane.
Right.
It's like buried in the, it's like, it's a weird noise too. It's not like a, you know, bong. It was just like, everybody's like, what the, and the flight attendant's like grabbing the mic and they're like, and the guy walks, it looks right at it. And all of a sudden the whole plane smells like pot. I mean, just like, so we're all like, dude. And he sits down behind me, sits down. I'm like, and flight comes out. She's on the phone. Everybody's like, so then the pilot comes out. They have a meeting. They close the thing off. You can't go up there. And now they're having that paperwork. The guy's toast, right? I'm reading his lips. He's like, let's let it go this time. And the lady's like, no. The flight attendant's like, no, I'm reporting this. So finally, they go, done. He comes back. She goes over and has this big, long talk with him. And he goes back in. I'm like, oh, he goes back in. Oh, my God. He goes back in there again. This time, of course, he didn't smoke. And then we land. I'm like, oh, they're taking him away.
No.
He just walked off the plane. I guess the pilot had said, yeah, we got to fill all this paperwork. He's like a cop. And
yeah,
yeah,
right.
It's hot out. I don't want to get out of the car and write this fucking ticket. Just go.
Really?
Yeah.
I was speaking to
that's crazy
Tim the other day. And because we played Delta, and I love Delta. And he was saying,
yeah, Delta.
we're working on sponsorship. That's why he was mentioning.
Yeah,
every,
I love
every
episode. I love Delta too, by the way.
Did you like, you know, like Diamond Medallion, whatever?
Yeah.
And he was getting a flight.
Oh, yes.
Back from a gig.
Yes.
It was like a super early flight, so we got a first class ticket, and he gets on the plane, and there's no seat for him. The guy's like, "No, we had to downgrade you. You're now in a middle seat
in
at
the back."
So he's like, "Okay, well, that's not great. But I ordered breakfast, so could I, you know, at least have my breakfast?"
And the guy was like, "For
you don't get breakfast in the back."
They said breakfast is for. Oh no, sir! Literally, was like, sorry, we know you paid for that ticket, but we've had to downgrade you. He said, "Well, I also paid for breakfast." Can I? Is that no? Sorry, sir. Breakfast is for first class.
I don't think he was apologetic.
No.
And then he goes. He sits there, and he's all pissy and like frustrated. And the attendant comes up to him. And they go, "Are we going to have a problem?
Oh.
Do we need to get you off this plane?" They were going to deplane him. And in the end, they didn't even like refund his ticket.
Oh well,
yeah.
But hey, on whatever airline, you know, Garrett. It's because was the pilot your brother?
Yeah, Garrett. Yeah.
He's like, Garrett doesn't want to fill out paperwork.
Yeah. I'll leave you on this one. This is I ended the podcast myself, but
that's assertive.
That's good, right? I'll end. I'm gonna end this.
I like that. I'm gonna keep that. It's better than saying I've had it.
Let me end on this. And I was just, and again, plain, you know, like I said, I really don't do this in my show, but it's one of those things you can think about doing it, because it's real life stuff that I was, and especially on planes, like your buddy just, I mean, that shit happens, right? I'm just on a plane, and the flight attendant came on and said, "We have a peanut allergy on the plane today. We have someone that's got a peanut allergy. So we'd like to ask everybody if they would refrain from eating anything with peanuts. We'd appreciate it. And the patient, the passenger would really appreciate it as well. Thank you for your understanding." And it's kind of a weird vibe over the plane. Like everyone, you just hear people kind of commenting. And this guy next to me, big fat redneck, he's got his ball cap on. And what made it funny was it was the timing of it. He goes, "The pastor would really appreciate it, and we would too. Thank you for your understanding." And she puts the thing down, and he reaches it under his thing, and it's where he got his magazines and his whatever. And he pulls out a bag of peanut M&Ms, and he rips it open, and he looks over at me and goes, "They'll be all right." And I just thought, I just laughed so hard. I got my book out, and I started writing this down. He goes, "Is that going on your show?" I said, "Yeah." He's like, "You're not going to put me in it." And I said, "No, I'm not." I said, "Well, let me get my phone." So I got my phone. I said, now you're, and he's like, no. I'm like, "No, you're going to be in the show." It was just how he did it.
Yeah.
He's just, "It'll be all right." Fucking shit.
One of our friends killed somebody on the plane like that.
Killed him?
Yeah, with a peanut allergy.
Hang on.
They choked him?
Literally killed
him. Firstly, you're just like really trying to ruin this bit for
no, yeah, that's what happened. Like,
he killed him. But
one of your friends.
One of our friends.
Our friends.
One of our friends.
You're an accomplice.
Did they choke on
did
the peanut?
I do this?
Did they
no,
choke?
They had,
did they choke on it? Or
they had the allergy.
And why? They didn't know. And they
didn't know.
Oh, they didn't know.
They didn't know. And the person died next to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And on that bombshell,
Fly Delta.
They
give
you
nuts.
Carrot Top, aka
we're nuts.
My dear friend Scott.
Yes, thank you, babe.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks so much.
That was fun. Thanks for having me
so
on. You guys
great.
Were really, really, really fun.
Oh, let's have you back.
Yeah,
come back, please. Yeah, I'm sure there's even more stories.
The old comic would say, "This is more than a thrill; it was an inconvenience."
Contract.
Forgot who used to say that.
Thanks for listening to What Happened in Vegas. Don't forget to follow us wherever you get your podcasts, and leave us a review. Preferably a nice one, right?
Yeah. If you hated it, find 5 places you hated it and give us a star for each of those.
Yeah, if you get 5 good things from a podcast, that's enough, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.